glad you guys are here tonight. And of course, I had to start off with a little bit of humor because let's just face it, this topic is hard, right? Yes? Oh, okay. I thought for a second I was the only one who thought it was hard. But the interesting thing about it is I probably have spoken on discipline 10 times here and other places. When am I going to get the fun topic? That's what I want to know. But God has a really great sense of humor because, you know what? Discipline is something that is working on me as I worked on my kids. So, you know what? It's a beneficial thing. And as I work through the topic again, it's just a great reminder of the journey that God has had me on. So, I'm happy to talk about discipline with you guys. It is one of the hardest topics, but if it's done right, it has great rewards for everybody. Ooh. Now, multiple times throughout our talk tonight, I'm going to throw up a sign, and it's like, this is totally obvious, all right? And it's called newsflash. Okay, these are not groundbreaking top things that I'm going to be telling you about, but this is just newsflash. Just to make sure we all are on the same page. Okay, my first newsflash. Parenting is hard. Okay, just want to make sure we are all on the same page there. You might be feeling a little discouraged and defeated, and I understand because I have walked in your shoes. As Rihanna says, I have two children. My children are old and grown now. My oldest is going to be 27 in November. I can't believe that. And my daughter's going to be 24 in a couple of weeks. Wow. I'm no expert, but I have walked in your shoes. And I am involved in the children's ministry here at Emmanuel, and I've seen a lot of kids. And I've seen a lot of parents. And I've seen a lot of interaction between parents and kids. And I've had a lot of talks with little kids on Sunday. So I have walked in your shoes. But I am here to tell you a couple of things. First of all, unfortunately, there are no guarantees. Newsflash. There are no guarantees. You have a responsibility for your part. The outcome is not in your hands. I hate to tell you that. If you're looking for a miracle recipe, I'm not going to be the one who's going to be giving that to you. And I would like to talk to the person who does have that answer because it's not there. The also other thing I want to start up with our foundational information besides those other points is there's a lot of information. A lot of people have written about parenting and discipline. But I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be talking from a biblical perspective about discipline. And it's my guidebook for life. The Bible, God wrote it for us. He has what he wants us to know in his word. So I'm going to be using that as my foundation. All right, questions. What is discipline? Answers. What is discipline? Correction. What else? Guidance. Punishment. Love. Training. Reward. Okay. This is the way I think of discipline. It's two sides of the same coin. One side is teaching and training, and the other side is punishment and consequences. It's all part of the same thing. So there's a positive side, and I hate to say it this way, but that's the only way I can think about it, is there's a negative side, okay? So it's both sides of it. It's not just the consequences that come for after when you need to come in because a child has been disobedient or gotten into trouble. Why do we discipline our children? What's the goal? Answers? Protect? I like that. Correct? Train. If you don't have a goal in mind and you're making it up each day, you need to think of a long-term goal. What is the long-term goal that you're looking for your children? When you're in my place, when you have a 27-year-old and a 24-year-old, what do you want to see when you look back? Okay? And this is what I wrote down for myself. Lovingly and intentionally teaching and training children who love God and desire to please him in all that they do. But there's a catch. There's two sides to that. One is my side. My ability is to train that outward behavior. And then there's God's ability and God's side, which is heart transformation. You cannot affect a child's heart. You can't. You can try all you want. And I wish somebody had told me this at the very beginning, because I spent a lot of time thinking I was going to be able to mold a heart. You can't. It's something that happens on the inside with God. But you have your responsibility and he has his too. But I'm so grateful that God loves me and that God meets me right where I'm at. And he loves it when I fall to my knees and I'm totally in over my head, because I'm calling out for him, which is where I'm supposed to be in the first place. So that's a really wonderful thing. So if you feel frustrated and if you've had those days, that is something to be celebrated. You're exactly where you're supposed to be, which is on your knees asking for help. Okay, now we're going to go through your. I love the theme for the year. Be bravely you. Isn't that what it is? Be you bravely. Yes. That one. Okay, so you have a little outline-y sheet on your table if you want to follow along, but I didn't make a total outline because I hate filling the blanks. I always feel like I'm missing the answer. I want you to write what it means something to you. So anyways, but we're going to go through the letters brave. Look at that beautiful B. Yes. Thank you to Jenny Britton and the Children's Ministry.
I'm not artistic.
B. Be realistic, be honest, and be prepared. Again, responsibility. Newsflash. My responsibility is for myself. It's the only heart that can change. I'm only responsible for changing my own heart between me and God. But guess what? Parenting is not only about your children. Newsflash. Okay? It's how God uses that journey to draw you closer to him and to have you grow up to be the woman he wants you to be and to prepare you for future difficulties ahead. Newsflash. Your difficulties will increase because your kids get older. They want more independence. I mean, right now, it probably seems really overwhelming. I don't know that they fight to get in that car seat every single time you get them in the car seat. Think about what you're doing today and for that teenager or that elementary school age child. So there are going to be future difficulties. This is a training ground for you too as well. It's training you to be the woman that God wants you to be. So are you prepared? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? That is the key for anything. For whatever you face in your life, having a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And you have that by knowing Jesus Christ, who came to earth to live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins. That is the key to everything. If you don't know about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, talk to your discussion group leader, your mentor mom, or somebody else on steering, because that is the most important decision you'll ever make. Everything else pales in comparison to that. So, do you have a relationship with God? And then number two, are you spending time with God and reading his word? He wants to give you what you need. You got to spend time with him. You got to be in his word. And I admit it, that is a really hard thing. There's so many distractions. And you think it's going to be easy when you get to my side when you have no kids at home? No. Newsflash, there's always a distraction. I don't care if it's a child underfoot. On my side, I got lots of time. How could I not have time to spend in God's word? You know what? Because we're lazy and we like to do our own thing. And we don't want to spend the time, but we're fools if we don't. Okay. Do you know yourself? You got to know who you really are. At this point in time, you should be honest. I remember when I turned 30, I felt like I finally knew who I was. Hopefully you guys are on a journey to discover who you really are. Like, you know, what things invigorate you? What things tire you out? Are you a free and easy person? People think I'm free and easy. If you know me around the church, you probably think, wow, she's free and easy. Guess what? Wrong. Not. I do love to be with people, but I love order. I love things orderly. My house in order, things in order. But I didn't realize I was that way until I was about 30 and I thought, this is going to be a problem, you know, because having children, that's really hard if you're a really orderly person. So it's good to know who you are, but then you need to be able to accept it. But then you also need to be able to merge in that parenting and realizing that it's more important your parenting than it is to have a neat home. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Which was a big struggle of mine. Hey, guess what? Newsflash. You're not a superhero. You're not a superhero. You got to get enough rest. Turn off your phone. Turn off your computer. Turn off Pinterest. That'll drive you crazy. Pinterest? I don't know what I would have done if Pinterest was around when I had little kids. Wow, there's so much out there that everybody seems to be doing perfectly. I mean, I would feel like such a failure. Okay, but turn off Instagram. Just turn off the noise. Get to know who you are and get to know who you are through God's eyes. Okay, my other thing about get to know yourself is stop comparing yourself. You are unique. Your family is unique. You're not like anybody else. You might have exactly the same boy first and girl second, but guess what? It's not the same. You're different. Your children are different. Stop comparing yourself. It makes you feel less than, or it makes you feel judgmental, which is also bad. I mean, you might have a very compliant child, and that's why your discipline looks easy. And that person over there might have a really strong-willed child, and that's why it looks really hard. And you're, you know, looking down on her because this kid is flailing on the floor. So, because guess what? Your second one might be flailing on the floor, right? Just saying. You know, so don't be judgmental. Okay. All right, secondly, your responsibility first was for yourself, and the second one is for your child, like I've already alluded to at the beginning. Your responsibility for your child is to love, model, teach, train, and follow through on consequences. Newsflash again, you cannot change a person's heart. You just can't. All right, other part of my be realistic, honest, and prepared is be honest and realistic about your children. Your children are unique as well. There's a great book out there that's on the book table. It's The Way They Learn by Cynthia Tobias. She also has another great book out there too as well. There's a lot of really good books about that'll get into the nitty-gritty for you as well. But this one is a good one. All kids need a routine. So this is true of everybody. Okay? Everybody needs a routine. Everybody needs to have meal time at certain times. Everybody needs bedtime at certain times. We need routine. You need a routine. Oh, routine is a great thing for a mom because you know when the next thing's coming. You know when it's nap time or whatever. But if there's no routine, it's just, you know, willy-nilly. Kids need that security. They need a routine. Everybody does. Use every opportunity to teach and to train. Every opportunity. There should be a lot of conversation all day long about what you expect for them, what you want for them, how you want them to behave, what you're seeing great in them. Realize they have limitations. Stop carting your kids around like a purse. That's my soapbox, I have to tell you. I don't even like to be at Walmart at 9:30 at night. I mean, I just don't. But I'm in there and I'm seeing frustration abound. Oh, there's parents and little ones at Walmart at 9:30. And there's weeping and gnashing of teeth from the parents and the children. That is like a recipe for disaster, setting yourself up for frustration. There is no way that's going to go well. So don't do that, okay? Don't be surprised when they blank. Fill in the blank. Your kids are sinful. Did you know that? They are born with a sinful spirit, a sinful will. Nobody even had to teach them that. They just know it in their heart. They want me, mine, my way. No, no, no. And you didn't teach them that. They learn it all by themselves. They are sinful. But because of that, don't be surprised. If you're surprised, like, oh, how dare they? You're setting yourself up. Okay. So if that's the case, what will the consequences be for blank? If you have a two-year-old, think about all the things a two-year-old could do that were disobedient or wrong. Maybe your kid hasn't done it yet, but they probably will. So think about what's the consequences. How are you going to handle whining? I've heard people say, oh, I won't let my kids whine. Newsflash. That does not work. Again, you can't control somebody's sinful heart, but you can have control over consequences or how you're going to handle that. And I'm not going to tell you what's the miracle way to handle whining. You have to figure that out. What do you want? Are you going to, you'll have to figure out how you're going to handle the whining part, but they will whine, right? And it grates on your nerves. So, hey, all right, there's another newsflash coming. There's three things you can't force: sleep, eating, pooping, and potty. Did you guys know that? Okay, but there's a lot. He has such perfect timing. There's a young woman who I mentored all the way through high school, through college, and she's now a young mom with three kids. And I went to spend a week with her. Her husband was away for 2 weeks in St. Louis, and so I was with her for a whole week. Three little kids, 2, 4, and a second grader. So I saw the whole spectrum all playing out. It was such a great reminder. And it was just a perfect timing right before I was working on my talk and thinking, you know, about how that really looks in real life. And I saw all these ones being played right out and being a manipulation. It was just a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth over these things right here. You can't force sleep, which I tried really hard to do. My son just didn't need a nap really early on, but I needed one, right? So you can't force sleep, but you can have a rest time for everyone. Okay? Aha moment from a friend telling me that. Eating. You can't force a kid to eat. Don't spend the effort. But you can have only one meal that's got reasonable choices on it, that's healthy, and just go, and that's the end of that. Doesn't need a whole lot of weeping and bribery, and don't forget it because you can have dessert. Don't go down the bribery thing of having dessert. That's another one of my soapboxes. Hey, they are not going to die if they don't eat. Okay, they aren't going to die if they don't eat, but they'll learn. I was hungry and say, well, we'll be waiting till, you know, I don't know when you normally have snack time or when the next meal is. They'll will learn. And also pooping and potty. Hey, those potty training in a day, those kids were ready to be potty trained in a day. They were just ready. Maybe your child is not going to be potty trained in a day. So, and maybe they were, but don't pat yourself on the back because it just means they were ready. Okay. R, reach out for help. Get encouragement. Remember again, I can't say this enough, only God can affect the heart. Spend time with God and His Word. Let it change your heart. Pray for the child, for change in your child's heart, because He's the one who can affect that. Scripture, let Scripture sink into your life and put it by your sink. Put it in the places where you are. I do know, like I said, it's difficult to spend time in God's Word. There's so many distractions. So put it where you are. Put it by your sink. I have it by my sink. And Michelle told you some of my favorite verses, I think, about parenting and discipline. But one of the ones that stuck out to my mind, too, as well, and I still think of it today, is Psalm 61, 1 through 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Is that not an awesome verse? How many of you felt like you cried out and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull my hair out, whatever. God knows and He cares. What a great cry from Scripture for a mom. Also to prayer. You should be praying all throughout the day. Just a total continual conversation with God throughout the day. The moment you get up in the morning, it's the moment you go to bed at night and thanking Him for everything that He's given to you throughout the day. Because He is with you. He cares. So make sure you're talking to Him all throughout the day. You might look like a crazy person talking out loud, but that's okay. Also too, music. Music really soothes my soul. I love music, Christian worship music, just having it playing in my house. It's a great thing for children. Why not expose them to it really early on? You'd be surprised how many lyrics they catch up on and you know, singing in the car. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing. I really think it lifts my spirit, so I recommend music as well. Reach out for help from your husband. Let him know you need help. How many of you are suffering in silence saying, honey, I'm dying? You need to tell him that. And develop a plan together. A lot of women, and myself included, would go to things like this, talk to other moms, we get all these ideas, and we start coming up with a plan. We just never clued our husband in on the plan. And then you basically say, hey, hon, we're going to do this now. And he's like, what? Oh. I mean, you know, have a chance for input. You know, it's his children too, and he can see it from a different perspective. But work together so you're on the same page. Get encouragement from others. Be brave and honest and reach out. You know, my parenting journey with my son, he was my first, was a difficult one just because of all the edges God was working off of on me. But I really struggled with trying to control my son. And we really clashed because he's like me. He's strong-willed. We are really cut from the same cloth except for the fact that he's a boy and I'm a girl. But we really clashed. And I was desperate. And about when he was 3 years old, I thought, this is it. Somebody's going to go, and it's not going to be me. Because I started here first. But anyways, I was desperate, and I reached out, and I called somebody who was farther along in the journey. And she listened to me, and she believed me. She didn't think I was making it up or overblowing it or whatever. She heard me. And then she said, you know, I'm going to give it some thought, and I'm going to call you back, and I'm going to give you some ideas. What a blessing to me. It totally changed my whole method of parenting, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. So don't suffer in silence. Your mentor moms who are sitting at the table, they're farther along in the journey. They would love to help you. They would love to pray with you. Even if they don't have all the answers, because they don't, they would love to hear what's going on. Your other friends at the table, other mops, moms, friends, are all a great encouragement. A. A stands for authority and atmosphere. Newsflash. You are the parent. You must lead. You are the authority. And I was always thinking about this. Mark and I, my husband, we were talking about just rolling through some things that we think great leaders have all in common. This is not an exhaustive list. This was just our quick list. Great leaders are not always appreciated for their leadership. Does that sound like you guys, not feeling so appreciated sometimes? Great leaders are not always liked. Mean mommy. Great leaders always remember the goal and don't let little skirmishes sidetrack them. Great leaders speak the truth. Great leaders have incredible resolve. Great leaders learn from others. All right, that's your authority part. To remind you, you are the parent. You have to lead. Moving on to atmosphere. Your attitude in your home does change the atmosphere, right? It's the thermostat, right? Not the temperature gauge. You set the tone. What example are you setting? Are you yelling? Do you struggle with anger? I did. I'm being honest. I was a yeller. Didn't think I was going to be a yeller. I seemed like Susie Sunshine. But wow, that parenting is really hard and it can test you. But it was always, it makes me laugh now to think about it when my child would say something, you know, talk in a disrespectful way to me, and I would come back with, how could you talk to me like that? Don't you talk to me like that? What is wrong with that? I mean, I was just modeling, you know, I'm modeling it back. Yes, how it was not right for him to talk to me like that or to handle it in a different way, but my response, totally wrong. I'm just totally modeling what I just told him not to do. Makes no sense. Obvious exasperation. Do you act like you're in a tug of war with your child? I did. And that is really sad. We're supposed to be on the same side. But pulling at each other like that and thinking, I'm stronger, I'm bigger, I'm going to win. They know that. They can tell. And they're, you know what? They might only weigh 25 pounds, but they're pretty powerful to try to pull on that other rope. It's not the way to go. The other one is your relationship building changes the atmosphere. So first, your attitude can change the atmosphere, and relationship building changes the atmosphere. This is where it's something I discovered when my kids were younger. It's something called love languages. Are you familiar with that term, love languages? It's how your kids feel connected and loved. And as they grow older, you'll see those really clearly. These are developing when they're little. But you should be doing, there's five of them, which is time, physical affection, words of affirmation, acts of service, and gifts. Those are things that you should be keeping in mind when you're trying to stimulate that relationship with your children. What gives them that attention that they crave? Sometimes the reason why they're misbehaving or screaming or yelling is because they want attention. And the way they know to get it is to misbehave or whine or yell or hit their brother or the sister. They got attention, all right? Sometimes it's because we're so distracted we haven't given them and filled into that love tank for our kids. With my son, one of the things that person called me back and said, I want to challenge you to play with your son every day for 45 minutes. I said, really seriously, because right now I love him because he's my child, but I do not like him. And playing with him, a boy, for 45 minutes, cars or whatever, that was going to be a sacrifice. But it was so worth it. Playing cars, we play dinosaurs, I made car noises. Boys can just do that, women can't. I'm trying my best. I did my best. But it totally changed our relationship. It built that relationship, and it just changed our whole dynamic together. I felt more love towards him. He felt like he got that attention from me, and it just, he had a greater desire to please me and obey me. It was a miracle. a total miracle. So find out what makes your kids tick. Make sure you're giving them that plenty of that snuggle time, and don't just toss them to bed real quick. Make the time so you have time to read the book, because it'll benefit you and benefit your child too as well. All right, next one. V. All right, here's where you get some valuable tools. And I know you guys want me to tell you the how-tos of discipline. You want me to tell you this, this, and this. But again, there are no guarantees. So these are just valuable tools, okay? First of all, when you have a child who's misbehavior, when you're thinking about disobedience, you have to assess the behavior. Is this childish behavior, or is it direct disobedience? You know there's a difference, right? Tell me some examples of childish misbehavior. Spilling milk. Yes. But the opposite of that would be tossing my cup like that. That would be direct disobedience, right? Does it frustrate you when they spill that milk, even though, because you've probably cleaned it up maybe five other times that week? Yeah. Is that something that's just part of the developmental process? Yeah. Does it make you want to yell because you have to wipe the floor again? Yes. Should you punish that? No, you should not. Also, too, another reminder, don't fight or punish for things that don't matter. There was a friend here who, she had a boy first, and then she had a daughter, and she was so excited about having her daughter. And her daughter just was a tomboy right from the start. And her daughter didn't like wearing anything girly, unlike Naomi Pinkley, who wears everything pink and sparkly. This little girl insisted on wearing sweatpants. That could have been a real battle, right? Wrestling over the clothes, wrestling over the clothes. I mean, they need to be modest and they need to be clothed when they leave the house. The rest, I mean, really, don't get into that battle with them. You know, as my kids got older, there was a whole thing with my son. He thought it was totally cool to wear shorts all the time, even in the winter. You can get into that battle like, it's winter, you're going to catch a cold, but you catch cold from viruses, right? Not from the weather, right? I don't know, whatever. But it's something that your mom put in your mind. I don't know. But you know what? Guess what? When you're cold, wearing shorts in the winter, might not choose to wear shorts the next day. Let natural consequences come to bear. You don't always have to be the one. Don't wrestle over those things. Okay, so when your child has an issue, they are being disobedient, or they're whining or crying, this is a step, some couple steps I will go through with you to see if they might work for you. The first one is positive redirection and warning. This is kind of a new buzzword topic that you hear, but it is good. I used to call it the art of distraction, but that's not really right. But positive redirection and warning, which means they're flailing, they're yelling, they're screaming over there. Take the time, go over to them, look them in the eye, get down on their level, and speak in a lower tone. What do you need? Use your words. Help them. Some of that's frustration. They may not have all that language yet to say what the problem is. Or do you need help? Say, help, mommy. I'll help you. You know, these kind of things. Do those kind of things. It can diffuse the situation. It can stop a tantrum before it even happens. But a lot of times we're distracted and those things just get ramped and ramped up because now they've decided to go kick their sister because you didn't pay attention, they were frustrated, or whatever it is, and now it's just escalated. So try that. Also, too, children love choices. But each choice has a consequence. Some choices are positive, and some choices have negative consequences. So you go, if you choose to do this, that will be great. This will be good. If not, if you choose to disobey, then you're going to have X, Y, Z. What's your choice? And then the consequences come out. All right, the negatives of this whole positive redirection and warning can be, newsflash, you cannot reason with a two-year-old. I just saw this so played out in my poor friend's life. And there was a whole episode. We finally get in the car, and she looked at me, and she was exhausted and sweaty. And I looked at her, and I said, you cannot reason with a two-year-old. And she said, I know. But I just was trying. I'm like, you, anyways. So, but you cannot reason with a two-year-old, right? I don't hear any amens. Okay. All right. There's too much discussion and too much talking about this behavior. It keeps going on and on because you're trying to not have to do the actual discipline because it is painful for you too as well. So you're trying to convince them, And there's a lot of hugging and patting and trying to soothe them into being obedient. Right? The wise choice is to obey. The poor choice is to disobey. What's your choice? Step two, if that gone through that and they still choose to disobey, the consequence is the other side of discipline, which is the punishment side. There are multiple ways to handle that, and they're all, you need to think about what's a developmentally right answer, and it constantly changes because as soon as you figure it out, it's going to change again. The naughty chair, the naughty step, those are great, great tools. Sent to their room, loss of privilege. But make sure it's one, as Ingrid pointed out to me this week, that's one that you can follow through on. Don't throw out some willy-nilly thing you're never going to be able to do, like you're never going to ride that bike again. Why would you do that? They need to be able to trust your word. And make sure that's not punishment for the whole family, too. I don't know. Okay. And then also, too, there's a word about spanking. I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy about spanking. We spanked in my house, but I want to caution you this. Spank out of love if you choose to spank. And we also chose to use another instrument, a wooden spoon, something that's not a hand. Because I think a hand is for love. This is my opinion. And that also, too, having something that you would use if it's a spoon would be, I have to go get it. It gives me a chance to calm down, to pray about how my reaction is going to be. So I'm not reacting, that I'm acting, thinking through, and praying. And it gives me a chance for them to calm down, too, as well. And then follow up with teaching, constantly having to be teaching, reteaching, teaching. Why did this happen? What did you do? What could you have done differently? Should you have obeyed? Yes, I should. You know, those kinds of things. Lots of discussion because it's time for teaching. And then hugs and forgiveness. Always hugs and forgiveness. I forgive you. God forgives you. You forgive your children. And you don't hold it over their head anymore. Last one. E. Every day is a new day for positive change. God's mercies are new every morning with you. Your mercies need to be new every morning with your children. So every day is an opportunity to be consistent. Mom and dad always keep their word. Consistency is the key. It gives them a sense of security, but that means you need to be prepared to be consistent. That means you might leave playgroup, you might leave playground, you might leave grocery store to go and handle that. Whatever it is you need to handle, whatever way you've chose to handle it, you need to be able to leave. I had carried my kids home kicking and screaming. I seen it in the grocery store, mom going out there, and I want to say, you go. You go. You don't need that cart of groceries more than you need to train your child. You don't need that whatever at Walmart more than you need to talk to your child and train them and have them learn that mom keeps her word, right? Okay, role play. Every day is a new opportunity to role play. To teach proper behavior for possible difficult situations that where you want to see growth. You see an issue, say it's dinner time. Is dinner time hard for you guys? There's a lot of up and down and all around and all that kind of stuff. I saw it played out here just a couple of weeks ago. And if you want to see growth in that area, have a tea party before dinner. Pretend this is how we act when we're at dinner. We'll talk about these things. We'll talk about our day. We'll hear from daddy. We'll hear from mommy. We'll hear from your brother, your sister, whatever it is. Have a timer on. If they choose not to eat, that's a whole nother story. Because like I said, I would not fight over the food. But family time, communication, connecting together as a family, I would make sure that I enforce that. That would be back to the naughty stare, back to the table, back and forth. But I would have a timer on because we want to build relationships. This is about relationships. Have a timer on, and then when the timer's done, you can say, I may be excused, and off they go. There's not a lot of weeping and gnashing teeth. It is what it is. You make the decision. You tell them ahead of time. We practice it. Grocery store. We're going to the grocery store today. You're going to help mommy get our groceries. And you know what? When we get to the end, are we going to buy candy at the end? There's going to be candy there, I bet. But are we going to buy candy at the end? No, we are not going to buy candy at the end. But when you have done such a good job, we get home, mommy, and you will play together. We'll have our playtime. But set them up for what you expect for them. Okay, be flexible and try new approaches because it's going to constantly change. And remember, Don't keep beating your head up against the same wall. If you always do what you always did, you're going to always get what you always got. All right? Let me say that again. If you always do what you always did, you're going to always get what you always got. If it's not working, you need to try something different. Maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's your attitude that needs to change. Maybe it's what you're enforcing or not enforcing that needs to change. Okay, in closing, my final news flash is, remember, today's frustrations and discipline issues are training ground for tomorrow's challenges. And remember, God is faithful, and his mercy covers us no matter if we felt like our day was a success or a failure. He always loves us. So I want to follow back onto that great verse, some of the great verses that Michelle read, and remind you about Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time we shall reap a harvest if we do not grow weary. And that harvest is the change in your own heart. That is an amazing thing. And we are hoping and we desire that you have a deeper relationship with Christ because of your parenting journey, and that you have a deeper relationship with your husband because of your parenting journey, because you've gone through it together. And that you have a deeper relationship with your children. I got to tell you, on the other side where I'm at right now, relationship is everything. That's all I have. If I want to have influence on my children still and be an influencer of them, and they want to have my advice, relationship. If it had gone the way it was going and I didn't seek out help, I'm sure our relationship would be fractured to this day. And I'm so grateful he called me right before I came here. And he's 27, calling his mom several times a week. I'm thrilled. I mean, I know that's not normal or usual, but I'm so grateful. But I just know that God worked in my heart and it changed our relationship. So be brave, be courageous, and be dependent on God. Thank you.